Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Am I too calm for you?
Every day.
Well, I had to give you instructions as to what we're doing here.
That was nice of you. I appreciate that, being in the loop.
Good for you. So then I walk back around, music's playing, and you're like, you know, sweating bullets. I stroll in. I'm too calm for you.
You are the most laid-back person I have ever met in my life. I'm not sure if that's a compliment or not, but it, you know, it works for you, which is great. Unfortunately for me, we're the polar opposite of each other, where my blood pressure is now 200 over 400. I know that's physically impossible, but that's what it feels like. Yours, on the other hand, is barely visible on the meter.
Penn State had the ball, Crow Park, behind, driving. Call the timeout. We go to a commercial break. Jack looks at me and he says, "Your heart rate's always 45, isn't it?" I said, "Yeah, it's all good. Don't worry about it."
I have not learned that art.
By the way, our man had meniscus surgery today. So I gotta get a hold of him. Make sure he's all right. He told me he was doing his surgery. And I said, "Well, make sure it's not his brother." All right, Will Tiemann is the play-by-play voice of Michigan State basketball. I had a chance to talk with him about Sparty and their matchup with Coach K and Duke. Will, there are certain years where I look at Michigan State and I say to myself, "All right, that's a team that's got a chance to advance deep in the tournament." Then there's some other years you don't know. Was this one of those you weren't sure?
Steve, I'll go further than that. I would say not sure would be really optimistic. Because, you know, a year ago, I thought that Michigan State team, when healthy, was easily the best team in the country.
Yep.
And we really felt that that was the team that could get to the Final Four and maybe win it all. And that didn't quite happen, thanks to Connecticut. This group, I mean, you're losing star players. You have a whole bunch of new people. And keep in mind, believe it or not, Tom Izzo's last two recruiting classes have been a little bit soft because he's gone after some guys he just didn't get. And so now you have a group of people that he sort of picked up along the way. And the struggles were mind-boggling. I mean, the losses to the free throws and silly turnovers. And in January, you're asking yourself, "Wow, which tournament are we going to go to?" And then all of a sudden things began to click a little bit. And the number one question I think everybody wants to know is, what happened? When did the switch go on?
Right.
And Steve, I don't think the switch went on. I think the switch was always on. And at the end of the day, what this collection of people did, and we all know, if you're a student athlete and things aren't going well, social media can be a little rough. And these guys are taking some hits, but they kind of blocked out the outside world, stayed the course, kept listening to Coach Izzo, kept working hard, and they just got better. And then the other part of that scenario is Tom Izzo, at the darkest day of the year, never gave up on this group of people. He said, "You know, they're good. I just got to figure out a way how to get to it."
Right.
And he did. And all of a sudden, through a strange set of circumstances, he got a starting five that worked. And all of a sudden, Bryn Forbes, who can shoot the basketball, learned how to guard somebody. He developed a bench rotation. We got some post play from other people than Brandon Dawson. So Now all of a sudden you got a basketball team who's playing great defense and can make some shots and every now and then a free throw.
And then you get, yeah, exactly. Everyone now and again a free throw. That's huge. Dawson and Trice, you know, seniors mean a lot and always have meant a lot to Tom. What have these two guys meant to the stability of this run?
I think they've meant everything, to be honest with you, Steve. You know, Travis Trice is, you know, he's getting a lot of accolades right now, and deservedly so. But the thing about Travis Trice, he's a coach's kid, and all he really cares about is winning. Brandon Dawson now, all of a sudden, has begun to take ownership and leadership. And the third member of this little group is Denzel Valentine.
Right.
He's also a co-captain and a junior. And he's been helping bring people along. And that trio has taken ownership. And it's interesting about this group. We've all seen great teams that have won a lot of games and titles, but not necessarily the closest of individuals off the court. This particular group of people, this team is extremely tight, extremely close. And the work they do amongst themselves away from practice is something. But, you know, I really think, you know, people, as we get ready for the Duke game, Michigan State has gotten a lot better than the team that Duke saw in the second game of the year. And Duke's gotten a little bit better, too, but not, they haven't improved as much as Michigan State has. But the one thing that I think will be interesting on Saturday, you mentioned two seniors, an experienced junior.
Right.
Duke is, with a seven-man rotation, basically, they have a lot of true freshmen in there. And I know they're really great players. I understand that. But I also know 18 is 18. And sometimes it's good to have a few salty dogs on your roster. And that might be one of those little intangible pluses for Michigan State.
Yeah, the salty dog on the roster versus a guy like Okafor. Okafor owned the first game. He's not quite playing the same way he did. He's not playing the same way now as he did then. What do you think the salty dogs learned about how to play him that's going to benefit them in the game Saturday?
Well, what's happened is, if there's a little bit of a mismatch, what historically has happened here, and I'll go to the Purdue game where they have Hammonds and that freshman that looks like he's from a Rocky movie, that 7'2 guy, Haas.
Haas, yeah.
So, is he real? He doesn't even look like a guy.
Yeah, I know.
Looks like they just made him somewhere. but what's happened, there's been enough really good post players in the Big Ten. In the development of Matt Costello in particular, what's happened is they've learned how to use doubles. They learn how to use speed and intelligence to kind of offset a little bit. Our guys down low right now is every bit as quick as he is. And he's not the biggest dude we've seen. He's awfully good. But I don't think he'll have the game this go-around they had last time, because the three people down low that will play him have been, played so many good people now. He's just one more in a long list.
You mentioned Valentine. Winslow is very much like Valentine in a lot of ways. Is that a matchup we could see? And what does Denzel mean as really, not really a guard, but almost as a point forward at times?
His key is this, Steve. We know, I mean, we all look at offense, right? That's like the touchdown pass.
Yeah, exactly.
It's easy to identify, it's exciting and all that. But really the best thing about his game is that he doesn't have great shooting nights every night. He doesn't score 18, 20 points every time out. But when he's having that 8-point game, he also probably has about 9 missed, 1 turnover, gets a lot of rebounds. He's our second-best rebounder. The neat thing about him is that he plays a total game. And he doesn't let he doesn't let his offense affect everything else. So, you know, and the matchups are always interesting with what Tom has done now in this tournament. He's switching guys all over the place on everybody.
Right.
He's even switching how we switch.
Right, yeah, I noticed that.
I wouldn't want to go against us right now because the defense has been pretty special.
Yep. All right, Will Tiemann, the play-by-play voice of Michigan State basketball. We'll come back. Matt LePay, the Wisconsin point of view, next on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other options auto dealers in our area can compete with. With our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com, proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
One half of the Final Four already previewed, courtesy of Will Tiemann, the play-by-play voice of Michigan State. Now for the second half, and that will be the nightcap, Kentucky and Wisconsin, and that means the play-by-play voice of Wisconsin football and basketball, Matt LePay.
And the irony is that you saw Oregon, you saw Arizona, now you see Kentucky. It's been interesting, but for anybody to compare the teams from season to season, how quickly can you dispel that part of it because personalities of teams change?
Yeah, they do. Steve, Bo Ryan talks about that all the time. Each team is unique. And even in Wisconsin's case, where the one rotation player from last year that's missing, who is missing, is Ben Brust. There were two other guys on that team, Evan Anderson and Zach Bohannon, who were important every day with their scout team work. And players do change, and Wisconsin prides itself on player development, and they have had players whose roles have changed this year. They've gotten better, guys like Bronson Koenig and Nigel Hayes. But having said all that, I know folks around here, when the bracket was introduced a couple of weeks ago, we couldn't help but think, this is familiar, with a potential game against Oregon. Baylor was also in the region and got knocked out early. And knowing that the possibility existed with another game with Arizona, you couldn't help but think about it. But the teams are different. And in the case of Kentucky, a couple of familiar names to be sure, but there's been turnover there. So it's same program names, but the personnel has either changed or those returning players have gotten better. So you're right. It is a different year, different storyline in some ways.
From the outside looking in, it seemed to me that Wisconsin last year was like, wow, this is great. We're happy to be there. I sensed being around them in Chicago that this is different. It's not a happy to be there thing, but they're also enjoying it. Am I right, wrong?
No, I think you're spot on. The good news, they've allowed themselves to enjoy the successes that they've had, and they want to be greedy, quite frankly. Josh Gosser and others have said that they want to win everything there is to win. They won the Battle of Atlantis back in November.
Right.
They wanted the Big Ten regular season title, and the tournament, the conference tournament, it's different in a lot of years where, to be honest, there are times I sit back and think, man, do I want to see this team play three straight days, wondering what kind of toll that will take. Well, these guys didn't view it that way. They wanted to go get it. And the overtime game with Michigan State in the Big Ten Tournament Championship game proved how badly both teams wanted it. It was a game where the way it works, sometimes those games are forgotten very quickly when you move on to the NCAA tournament. But that title game had a different feel to it. So, yeah, they're happy with what they've accomplished, but even Gosser, after the game, I think it was Josh who said it, that last year when they beat Arizona, they felt like they were on top of the world. And this time around, while they were thrilled, make no mistake about it, their thought turned to, okay, what's next, in a hurry. So I thought that was interesting. And I guess it makes sense because they have been there before. Now they just want to see what they can do about completing the deal.
When we know what kind of team they were when Trey Jackson was in there, because obviously I did the game at Wisconsin and Trey played the entire game. But then the next time through, it was Bronson Koenig. What has Koenig added to the table in his own way that's actually made Wisconsin different?
Well, I think it's probably fair to say that from an all-around skill set, Koenig is really, really good, and perhaps a little bit better than Jackson, but there's still areas where Bronson is continuing to develop. On the defensive end, his teammates have talked a lot about that, how he has gotten better as the year has gone on defensively. And I think to hear opponents talk, when Jackson is in the game, not that Wisconsin runs much, I mean, you know the tempo that the Badgers play, but Jackson is a guard. He's strong enough, and he can push the pace when a transition opportunity is there. He probably does that more aggressively than Koenig has, at least to this point. But Bronson is, otherwise, I think you have maybe a better pure shooter in Koenig, although he can be a little up and down in that regard. But you really, as a defensive player trying to check him, you have to honor the fact that he can hit the three. And another thing that I would have said was a big difference, and it's becoming less of one, Jackson, again with his strength, was probably more willing to drive the ball into the lane than Koenig. But as the year has gone on, and as Koenig has had more and more starts, he's been pretty good at picking his spots, and he's shown that he can attack the lane and be more than a jump shooter. So the differences were probably a little bit more dramatic in the middle of January or late January than they are now between the two.
You and I both know how Chester's Bo Ryan loves to play it. Decker is an incredibly gifted player. Is he also at times the most frustrating player for Bo?
Can be, I think. He can be, because, and now, and I have to remind myself this, and I think for Wisconsin fans, they need to be reminded, Decker, for a good portion of the non-conference season, was not healthy.
Right, he had that foot injury.
Yeah, sprained his ankle, and it was pretty bad. I don't think it was beyond the realm of possibility that at some point in November or even early December that they would just shut him down for a few days. They never did. And it got better, and he's ended up, he's had a good year. I think where he's at his best, and he has been doing this more and more, is when he's attacking the rim, either with or without the ball. He can certainly off the dribble be able to come off the wing or work the baseline, but he's been pretty good here as the year has gone along about flashing to the rim, and teammates have been able to find him, and he's been able to get points that way. One of the key moments, maybe underrated in the game against Arizona, was late in the first half when he attacked the rim, got fouled, and hit a couple of free throws with 1 or 2 seconds left in the first half, and it allowed Wisconsin to pull within 3 or 2, whatever the deficit was. It got him to within a one-possession game when Arizona was getting some momentum. Not a highlight moment by any stretch. Wasn't a dunk. It wasn't a 25-foot three-pointer, but it was a key play. He was able to get a couple of points late. I think the thing about Sam is, as an outside shooter, he's very streaky.
Yeah.
Now, he's on a real good streak now, but going into the NCAA tournament, the 6 games that led to it, he was 2 for 17 from three-point range, and his season percentage was about 30. You hear a lot about the tournament, teams getting hot at the right time or players getting hot at the right time. That applies to Sam. Extremely gifted. And I do think sometimes the expectations, because he was a star in state, people knew about him, that expectations get unrealistic. But he's really, really playing like a man right now.
Yeah, he sure is. And I remember, and you were in Tampa at the time, doing the bowl game, but when Penn State played him, that's when Dick Girardi and I both talked about the fact that it looked like that ankle was finally rounding into form for him once the conference season rolled around for him. So that was a huge plus. What about playing? I mean, you've been in confined NBA buildings so far. What about playing in the dome? Houston's a little bit different. I mean, obviously, the shooting background in Houston's terrible. What about this place? Is there any concern about playing in this place, which is so cavernous?
Well, it is one of those things that you always wonder about in domes. I remember the RCA Dome when Wisconsin was in the Final Four in 2000. As domes go, it seemed okay. When they were in North Texas last year, I thought it was actually pretty good.
Okay,
I was pleasantly surprised with the shooting background. It's never ideal. I think in a perfect world, I guess I'm of the older school train of thought that they would play basketball in a basketball arena, but we all know why that doesn't happen.
Right.
I will be curious to see here later this week when teams are able to have their open practice and their shoot around at Lucas Oil Stadium. My guess is they do such a good job down there at running events like this. If it's a Big Ten championship game or a big event like this, that it'll be okay as domes go, but it'll definitely be an important open shoot around, open practice for all of those teams just to get used to the surroundings.
Finally, Matt, Wisconsin wins if?
Well, it would probably be more because of offensive reasons than defensive reasons, not unlike the Arizona game. I did not expect it to be an 85-78 game, but both teams shot the ball extremely well. Wisconsin was just ridiculous in the second half of that game. It's pretty hard to expect a team to go 15 for 19 in another half again, and 10 of 12 from three, but they're going to clearly have to shoot the ball well, mid-range and out. But I still think, Steve, you got to attack the paint. Notre Dame was able to do that with some success. I've seen some other Kentucky games where opponents have been able to hang with them, where they have done the same thing. You want to get some shots blocked, so be it. Keep doing it. But you're going to have to really be clicking on offense because Kentucky is so long, and they pound the ball inside so effectively that you're going to give up stuff. This is a game that, as I tell people here, this isn't Miracle on Ice. This isn't Team USA against the Russians.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
But having said that, Wisconsin will have to play pretty close to flawless basketball, because if there's a window of opportunity, Kentucky has proven in the few close games that it has, that it has had this season, that Kentucky is plenty good enough to jump on that opportunity and beat you. But it is in Wisconsin to win this game. Very difficult. It will be a great moment for their program if they can, but it is doable.
Right. By the way, 1.6 points per possession in the second half against Arizona.
It's hard to do that when no one's guarding you. As that old line goes, it's hard to shoot that well against air.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Matt, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, Steve.
Matt LePay. Turbotville.
Matt LePay, the play-by-play voice of Wisconsin.
Voice guy gets excited. He doesn't get many chances to talk, so he takes advantage of it.
Well, he should. I can understand that. We'll come back. Final half hour of the show, Steve Jones along with the Goatee Wonder.
It's a mean-looking goatee. The problem is, Daniel says it's kind of like a muskrat because it's in three different colors.
I just find it as sad. All right.
Oh, so good to be able to see you.
Well, I speak for everybody in the building. See, are you mad at everybody in the building, or is it just me?
I'm going to plead the fifth.
I mean, I talked to Cody. She said yesterday you put on quite a show.
I've been cranky.
Why?
Lots of things.
As usual, we're brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. I'm a half hour away from being there.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And it is great to be in the Sunbury Motor Studio in Sunbury. It's great to be here today. Big night coming up for us here, by the way. Bittersweet, but we're happy for two great people who have been so important to everything that we do here at Sunbury Broadcasting, who have great opportunities, and we're here to celebrate all the great things that they've done here, but also to celebrate what should be a great future for each of them. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Yes, I will be stopping by 231 Reagan Street on my way out of here, because they have the best in imports, domestics, and microbrews. They also have a great selection of snacks, soft drinks. The peanuts are fresh, hot, and roasted every day. And the pickle bar is second to none. I hope they have stocked up on the barrel pickles with the idea that I shall be there. It is Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. It is Friday. You need to stock up for the weekend. Final Four tomorrow, which we just talked about. And Major League Baseball gets rolling coming up on Sunday night. Any IndyCar race this weekend?
No, IndyCar's taking the holiday weekend off. They'll be back in Long Beach next week.
Well, they might as well be off till Indianapolis. What?
There will be an Indy Lights race, though, on from last week.
They might as well be off until Indianapolis.
Long Beach is a great race.
Oh, I'm sure.
Long heritage race.
I'm sure it's tremendous.
They'll do a Formula E race in Long Beach, too.
Back to Brewers Outlet. Stock up for the weekend at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. It is the place to go. Corey and the gang do an awesome job there.
You have not watched the Formula E yet, have you?
I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. And no, I have not. Will I at some point? I'm not sure.
I think you should give it at least a look. I mean, it's interesting. And in round six is this weekend in Long Beach, ironically enough.
Okay,
I'll make sure you have the television schedule, so you'll be good to go.
Remember the last time you texted me about the Indy race?
Yes. I said the season starts now.
And remember the response you got?
I don't recall a response.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Long Beach race live, Fox Sports. At 6:30 Saturday night. Will the basketball games be done by that point?
Start at 6:09, won't be done till midnight.
Yeah. So much for you watching that.
It's not gonna happen.
Nope.
No.
You know, you could DVR it.
All right, phone lines open at 800-795-9565. How many of you will DVR the race? Let's just call us right now.
I would love it if we got a phone call. I would laugh hysterically.
How many of you will DVR the race? Give me a call now, 800-795-9565.
I know two people in the Valley that will be.
How many people will DVR the race? Give me a call.
Than Mitchell will DVR the race.
I'm looking at the screen.
And I will be as well.
800-795-9565. You can call now. Appears to be a problem. Are the phones working?
Maybe that's the problem, yeah. The phones might be down a little bit.
I don't see any activity there. All right. The Final Four. Here's something interesting. ESPN, I could completely understand, by the way, if ESPN added the WWE to their programming.
Yes, I can understand that.
I could completely understand that as a programming avenue.
That would make complete sense. It is a sports style broadcast.
Right. But I mean, they've done movies. They've done other things along the way that, you know, sports related movies, things like that. I mean, they've done some things before that are different. And I could see them adding the WWE to their programming schedule. It is the number one rated show on cable. I mean, I don't watch it. I have no idea who's who. I could, in a million years, would not know.
I haven't watched it since Ivan Putski, Chief J. Strongbow, and like the 80s at best.
Right. But my point being this. But where I draw the line on what they're doing with it is on SportsCenter. I don't see why it's on SportsCenter.
Well, have they done it since the WrestleMania pay-per-view event? Have they done any more since then? Or was it just promoting that? And I wonder, did the WWE pay ESPN to put it on SportsCenter for a little more exposure? Why the WWE would ever need more exposure is beyond me.
I don't know. It doesn't really matter to me. It's just I consider it to be programming, but I don't consider it to be sports news.
I don't know. I never saw roller derby on ESPN SportsCenter. Although I will say one thing, Bob Buehner was very happy, I'm sure, a couple of weeks ago when they were doing cricket highlights. I saw the ball go over the fence, but I did not see them touch every base. I got confused on that part.
Right. I don't know cricket rules. I just don't.
No, neither do I.
I don't know. And, but when it comes to SportsCenter, to me, that's sports news.
Right.
And the WWE, I could see it as programming. It makes complete sense, programming, but I don't see it as sports news.
Well, I said the other day, there's an E in World Wrestling Entertainment.
Well, there's an E in ESPN, which stands for entertainment.
True. That's a good point.
It's the Entertainment Sports and Programming Network.
That's a good point. All right.
That's the official name of it. Bob in Hanover. Hi, Bob. Thanks for calling. Great to hear from you.
Hey, just want to let you know that I, for one, will not be DVRing the race because I'll probably watch it when it's on.
There you go, Bob.
Oh, right. He's going to watch it live.
Oh, good, Bob. Everybody has their own taste in life, and I'm sure both of you will enjoy watching
it. I was counting on you, Bob, actually. I really was.
I'm a huge IndyCar fan. I love it. I don't care what anybody else likes. I love it, and I'll watch it.
These Formula E cars, the electric cars, are just entertaining to me.
I haven't checked that out yet.
Well, that's what's Saturday. Saturday is the Formula E race.
Oh, okay. Well, so, I'll watch it.
Yeah. It's worth a DVR. Steve's dumbfounded by this whole thing. He cannot understand.
I don't DVR anything.
Well, I just wanted to call in and show my support.
Well, there you go, Bob. Way to go.
IndyCar brethren sticking together.
We'll count you in. Well done.
All right. Bye now.
See you. All right.
There's three. That could be the entire viewing audience for this race. They could see better numbers in Pennsylvania than anywhere else in the world.
Okay.
No, I know, and you know what? We've talked about this before. You do not DVR sporting events.
No.
Now I do, and there's a couple of reasons why, and I'm surprised you don't, but like. The Big Ten Network, you've never DVR'd the next team Penn State's playing.
Nope. I can walk in and get a tape of it.
That's the difference.
So I don't DVR them.
Now, if you did not have that accessibility, would you DVR to watch that game?
No.
Or to at least skim through it? Not to watch it. You don't have to watch beginning to end.
No.
See, I think that's weird.
Why?
I think that's weird. I'll even DVR Steeler games. She'll look at me showing my age. I'll tape it. I'll even DVR Steeler games, even though I know the score, Now, I'll skim through some plays, but I'll watch it that way.
Yeah, but you'll watch the game on tape as the game's being played.
Well, yeah, sometimes I do because it'll have already started a few minutes in or maybe a half hour, an hour in, and I'll watch it and catch up live.
No, because you want to replay plays.
Well, I do that on live, yes. Yeah, I will do my own reviews.
I'll get up and go get a beverage.
I could do that too, but I hit the pause button. Boop, boop. And I don't miss anything.
I don't think I'm missing anything.
That's like the Super Bowl was a nightmare. I mean, when do you get up? You don't want to miss the game. You don't want to miss the commercials. When do you get up to go to the refrigerator or go up and get some more chips?
The only commercials I care about are Brewers Outlet and Sunbury Motors. I really don't care about...
I don't know if they were on the Super Bowl.
I really don't care about GoDaddy, okay? Doesn't really matter. Budweiser, I got it, okay? Horses drink beer, I got it.
And play football.
And give the beer to dogs, I got it.
Was a good commercial, though.
Yeah, yeah, I'm touched.
You talk about me being cold.
What?
I'm touched.
It's a commercial! I'm smart enough to know what I'm watching here.
No, but the reason I'll DVR it, like, there'll be a couple of games on that I'll want to see, and I may not watch it beginning to end, or maybe a race that I know I can't watch for one reason or another. I'll give you a great example. A couple of weeks ago, we had the All-Star, Northumberland County All-Star Games. I had to leave in the middle of the IndyCar opener, which I knew was running long. I stayed away from the winner, listened to a little bit of it on the way to Shamokin, got there, did the game, came back, watched the rest of it on DVR.
Once I know the result, I really don't need to see it.
Well, see, I stayed away from the result part, so I didn't.
I'm not going to sit there and like stay away from the result part.
I remember one year, you remember when they did the IndyCar or the Indy 500 on delay?
Yeah.
On ABC.
Yeah.
We actually went up to Lake Jean at Ricketts Glen State Park for the picnic for the entire day, the entire Sunday. Stayed away from the radio. Coming back the last 3 miles before the house, the radio was on, and we were talking and having a conversation, and none of us really thought about it. And then the sports update comes. My father almost drove off the road trying to shut the radio off so we didn't hear who won. Unfortunately, we had already heard Danny Sullivan won. And that was unfortunate.
I'm sure it was tragic.
Actually, it might not have been Sullivan. I think Sullivan was the last year they ran it on delay, wasn't it?
I don't know.
Anyway, it was the last year they ran it on delay.
I remember the Olympics in 1998 in Nagano. I'm doing a sports update at 7:30 in the morning, and Tara Lipinski won the gold medal, beating Michelle Kwan. So I announced that she won. I get flooded with phone calls. You've ruined it for me. Ruined what? Okay?
I've had that same problem.
I'm sorry, but I've looked around at my mailbox. There are no checks from NBC. It's not my responsibility. They don't want to air it live. It's not really my job in life to walk the tightrope to protect NBC's property because they choose to run it at 8 o'clock at night instead of live at 7 o'clock in the morning. Sorry. You know, it's not my responsibility. NBC made the choice to not show it live. Well, it's not really my job to protect NBC. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Bob in Hanover is going to be watching the race this weekend. Everybody has their own choices of what they enjoy, and Bob loves the IndyCar, and hopefully Bob will make it up to Pocono when they race this summer.
That's a great trip to watch if you're used to watching NASCAR there and you've never seen IndyCar, wait till you see the difference in speed. It's visual.
And, of course, the Final Four this weekend, Kentucky and Duke are considered to be the two favorites going in. I think they're going to be two really good games, though, very close competitive games. The dome aspect is, you know, it's interesting. Today they had the open practices. And I've talked repeatedly about being around Kentucky fans and in college basketball. No one travels better than they do. They had 25,000 fans at the open practice today for a practice. A practice where you're watching them dunk.
I swear people want to see them either win it all or lose embarrassingly.
But
you're talking about just the fan base just to watch.
The fan
practice.
Base is unbelievable. And I can tell you right now, the open practices are fun, but it's an hour. No serious work is done in the open practice. There's no serious work done. It's, drill to drill to drill to drill to drill. You're not doing anything out there where you're going to show what you're going to do. That's done in a private practice the other hour as to where you may go. You might go to Hinkle Fieldhouse or you might go to the University of Indianapolis. Yes, there is a University of Indianapolis because that's where Penn State practiced last year. But there's various places you can go. That's where the serious work is done. The open practice, you're just out there. A lot of it is the coach spends a lot of time, and a couple of the players spend time with the TV and radio talent, coming over, just talking with them, just getting to know them a little bit better. You take Jim Nance, for example, along with Bill Raftery and Grant Hill will be calling the game. They can talk to the Duke guys, but they just had Duke. They have not had Kentucky, they have not had Wisconsin, and they have not had Michigan State. So while the Duke conversation will just be a quick rehash of where they are based on the conversations they had with them in Houston, that 1 hour is going to be valuable as a get-to-know for them in the one. And that's where they do a lot of their work is in that one-hour open practice talking to people. And 25,000 people showed up today at Lucas Oil Stadium for a one-hour open practice. Now, it's valuable in that you have to get used to the shooting background there.
Well, that's the one thing I was going to ask you. The backdrop is way away from the backboard.
It is, except when they've had the Final Four in there before, it has not been an issue. The one arena, for whatever reason, has been Houston. And I don't know why. Houston in 2011 had the Final Four, and nobody could shoot the ball well. Houston had the regional this time, which is a slightly different setup than the Final Four, slightly different. But no, they struggled like crazy to shoot the ball. I mean, all four teams last week. I mean, just they struggled to shoot the ball in there. And I don't know why. I know when I've done four games in the Superdome. The first time I did the games in the Superdome, it was set up differently. Court was up against the sideline. There was a long distance between the end line and where the stands were. And I shot some balls out there just to see. And the depth perception, because it's plexiglass, you're like, wow. The next time I was in there was for the NCAA tournament, and they had it configured like a bowl. And because it was configured like a bowl, there was no issue with shooting background at all. It looked like a normal, the way they had it set up looked like a normal setup. The court is raised in the Final Four. Okay, because it's in the center of the stadium. It's not against, like, for example, I've done a game of the Georgia Dome. It's up against the end zone. Okay? Center, they now center the court. It's raised on a platform. That's why you see the players down on the bench. They also now put 2,000 students around the court, 500 from each team. That was requested by CBS about 4 or 5 years ago because they felt that the atmosphere in the building was stale. And they wanted to get more, so they give away 2,000 student tickets around the court.
To the best of your knowledge, has there ever been two teams that played for their conference championship matchup either in the Final Four or the championship game?
No, because
yeah, that would be tough.
No, you haven't had. It's not going to happen this time because I think Kentucky and Duke.
Well, both but that's
win.
What I'm saying. Now there's a storyline that I've been waiting for the entire tournament.
Yeah, it's different. Three games in 3 days versus playing Saturday and playing on Monday night.
But that was
different.
A good game about a month ago too.
It was. Off to Brewers Outlet. Have a great weekend, everybody.